What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to the Spiral Marketing Podcast with your host, Carl Bohm. And today, we are speaking to one of the wise men of the podcast world, Daniel J. Lewis. Daniel hosts a network of award-winning shows covering how to podcast, clean comedy, and the number one unofficial podcast for ABC's hit drama, Once Upon a Time. Daniel also writes about entrepreneurship and technology. Daniel, welcome to Spiral Marketing.
Thank you, Carl. I'm always excited to talk about podcasting.
Yeah. You know, this is a cool moment for me because you are one of the first podcasts that I listen to.
Wow, that's awesome. Was it the Audacity to Podcast?
It was the Audacity to Podcast.
Great. I'm curious here. So what brought you to the podcast? This will be a little bit telling for the audience as well.
Oh, absolutely. What brought me to Audacity Podcast? Well, I was looking into it as a platform for myself. I was excited about the idea, but I really needed to get into the nuts and bolts. And I'm one of these hands-on people where I need to experiment and research and figure out all the best methods before I dive in. And I found that on the Google searches, yours was one of the more informative podcasts and resources to get into the nuts and bolts. I like the way that you blend the technology and the technical processes with the foundational human side of podcasting. So that was really helpful in my early journey and continues to be.
Well, there you go. Search engine optimization plus valuable content equals a new listener, a new relationship.
Amen. Yeah. In fact, I refer your podcast often to folks who are just getting started as when they ask me the technical questions, I'm happy to say, well, this is what I use, but there's all a host of technological options, and I think that you should check out the Audacity to Podcast. So some of those numbers could be attributed to me.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I appreciate your work. Again, this is great. Spiral Marketing we're obviously about marketing, but we're also about entrepreneurship and leadership. And I know that these are some of your foundations as well. I'd love to first hear if you have any overarching philosophy on marketing and podcasting.
Yeah, there are really two sides of marketing and podcasting. One is marketing the podcast itself as if it's sort of a product to itself. And the other aspect is using the podcast to market something else. And you can use both of these together, really. So when we're talking about marketing and podcasting, you have to think of both of these. For example, in my business with the Audacity to Podcast, my podcast teaches people how to launch and improve their own podcast, but it also markets my own products and services. So I am able to promote Podcaster Society or SEO for Podcasters, my podcast reviews, all of that stuff from the podcast. But I also market the podcast itself by being able to point people to relevant articles or specific episodes when they need that information as an answer to their question. So marketing and podcast, this two-sided aspect. And I think a lot of people see the business side of podcasting being about marketing. And it really is, because there aren't many people making money directly from their podcast alone. Yes, there are some people, but you really need to have a very big audience or a very rich audience in order to make money from only the podcast. And what I mean by only the podcast is you sit down, you record your episode, you publish it, and you get paid. Nothing else outside of that. Most people, though, are using a podcast to market something else. It's maybe an affiliate program that they have, or their sponsors, or some product or service that they have outside of the podcast. And when you have especially a digital product or service outside of the podcast, there is no limit to what you could earn from that, because you could get one customer or you could get 1,000 customers and it doesn't take you any extra time. But your podcast becomes the marketing arm to that product, service, or business that you're running. And both sides of these are great but you don't have to have a product or service in order to have a successful podcast.
Yeah, a phrase that comes up a lot when I'm speaking both about my own podcast and many other folks' podcasts is that, well, it's enabling monetization. There are conversations that are enabling monetization, whether it's new customers, new partners, new opportunities that open up from the conversation. I find that there's a lot more podcasters and podcasts that are in that realm where that's far more possible rather than the John Lee Dumases of the world who have such huge followings that the numbers easily bring in advertisers and sponsorships that can monetize and bring a substantial revenue on their own.
Yeah, and even when you look at things like that, John Lee Dumas started out small. He was able to really hustle and work really hard, and he did invest significantly into his launch. So he was able to launch pretty well and get some good momentum going. And any other potential podcaster has as much potential in accomplishing that if they work hard enough and if they have enough leverage. One thing that does bother me with marketing in the podcasting space is when some treat podcasting as only an advertisement. They're not looking at delivering value or authenticity, but they're looking at only making money. That's when it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's a shame. You'd like to think that those wouldn't have much longevity because they're not focusing on quality content, and then eventually that would just fall by the wayside, but I don't have the numbers to or the data to support that one way or not. You've been podcasting for a long time relative to the industry, right? How long have you been podcasting?
I started my first podcast in 2007,
yeah.
2 years after podcasting started to get popular. Podcasting started in 2004. So 2007 was my first launch.
That's amazing. What has the journey been like for you?
Well, my first 2 years were really difficult because it was my clean comedy podcast that was the first that I launched, The Ramen Noodle, and I still host that today, recently returned from a hiatus. And for those first 2 years, I was trying to be a perfectionist with the podcast. It would take me 8 hours or longer to produce a single 15-minute episode. And because of that, I really suffered. And in the 2 years of doing that podcast back then, 2007 to 2009, I had only 9 episodes out. It was ridiculous. I looked at it after 2 years and realized I'm not even really a podcaster at this rate. I need to take this seriously and start producing content on a regular basis. So my journey has been one of discovering what makes better content. How can I present the information better? How can I produce this in a way that enhances all of this? How can I market this to grow my audience? How can I promote the podcast, promote the community? And for the podcasts where I do approach it from a business perspective, how can I monetize it? Those 5 things I just mentioned are actually what I refer to as the cornerstones of a great podcast, but number 5 is completely optional. Those were content, presentation, production, promotion, and monetization.
Excellent. What keeps you inspired to do podcasting after 8 years?
It's the community, really. For one thing, there is a business side of this for me because my podcasts are part of my business. So my business, helping podcasters, could not exist if it wasn't for my podcasts. So there is that part that I do like to eat every now and then. So it's nice to be able to pay bills. But the other aspect is the community. And this is what really energizes me. In fact, one of our podcasts, and this is another aspect of the journey, we have an unofficial podcast about the TV show Once Upon a Time over at oncepodcast.com. Mm-hmm. That podcast now has about half the audience it did when Once Upon a Time was in its first season. We're now in the 5th season of Once Upon a Time, and our podcast seems like it's shrunk, but our audience is far more engaged than they were back then. The quality of the connections and quality of the community is much higher now than it was back then. In fact, our donations continue to go up for the podcast, even though the audience has gone down over the years since the TV show is less popular now than it was back then. So it's that community that I really find the most valuable. The same thing happens when I go to a podcasting conference like Podcast Movement or some other social media conference. there's now always going to be someone in the audience, I've discovered, that comes to me and says, I've listened to your podcast for several years. It helped me with my podcast. And I get to develop a relationship with that person and discover what are their needs. I learn more about them. And it's those connections that really keep me going.
What are your marketing routines like?
The first important part of my marketing is not to look at the marketing, but look at what am I marketing. So I want to ensure that I have a very high quality product. That's quote product, unquote. And that is the podcast episode, the content I'm presenting, how I'm presenting it, how I'm producing it, all of that. So first, when I know I have something good, then I feel fine to promote it and market it. So my marketing steps after making something high quality is to enable my audience and ask my audience to share it as well. Ratings and reviews in iTunes are nice, sure, but really the best thing my audience can do is tell someone else about the podcast. So I equip them to do that by putting easy social sharing buttons on the website. I'll design images on the website with certain plugins that I use on my WordPress website so that people can easily share the content, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, and it shares a special engaging image in each of those contexts. I'll share it out on Twitter. Whenever I publish a new episode, it goes out on Twitter as soon as I publish it, as well as I tweet similar links with slightly different text a little bit later. I'm not spamming Twitter with links to my own content, but it's maybe a couple days later, I'll tweet to the same episode. And also I use a system now called tweetjukebox.com that's very similar to something like meetedgar.com, and it can retweet old content for me. So I've queued up old content there, and it's not a lot of stuff. I really don't want to bombard my followers on Twitter with only my content, but it's maybe 2 or 3 posts per day of older content from my feed. I'll also go into communities where they're talking about podcasting, and when appropriate and relevant, I might share my episode there. So I'm not going and publishing my latest episode for every time I publish an episode, but it's when I know someone in a community asked a question that my episode answered, I can go find that question and say, I just recorded an episode that answers this. Check this out. Or if it's with my Once Upon a Time podcast, I'll submit it to certain communities or forums that share Once Upon a Time news, like Reddit or Google+ and certain Facebook groups and such. And because the content is relevant, that's often welcome. But the most important thing to me goes back to the audience I already have, getting them to tell other people about the podcast.
Excellent. What has been one of your biggest surprises in marketing for your podcasts?
I don't think I have been surprised. And the reason for that is because I'm very strategic about what I'm doing, very intentional. So I do expect certain results, and I usually see those results back. So I haven't really been surprised, other than when I first launched the Audacity to Podcast. I was surprised that it got so much attention when I first launched it. After all, it was only one of 2 or 3 other active podcasts about podcasting at that point. So I guess I shouldn't be that much surprised, but it did surprise me. And that was part of what became the missing piece for me to be able to launch my own business. But since then, I work very hard on certain things. I set realistic goals. So I'm not that surprised at the results of things. The one other thing that was a surprise to me was in 2013, when the Audacity to Podcast won the International Podcast Award for Best Technology Podcast of 2012. That did surprise me because I knew the competition had a big audience, but it's not only a measure of audience size, it's a measure of audience engagement. And it wasn't my most popular podcast. It still isn't my most popular podcast, but the overall network and the community of our listeners who listen to all of our podcasts were supporting everything we do. And because of that very large platform, they rallied together and voted every day during the voting period. And that was a huge surprise to me that here I was asking people in every episode, please vote for the podcast. I made video tutorials showing them how to vote for the podcast. I didn't honestly expect to win. If I did win, I thought it was going to be one of the other shows. So when the Audacity to Podcast was announced, I was completely unprepared. I had no speech prepared or anything like that. but it was really a testament to the engagement of the audience.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How about your favorite stories of podcasting? And this doesn't have to be your own podcasts. What are some of your favorite stories overall about podcasting?
I love hearing the stories of a podcast enabling someone to do something cool or amazing, whether that be getting their dream job or launching their own business. Or I've heard actually of two listeners of another podcast getting married because they discovered that podcast and started listening and met each other through the community.
That's cool.
It's those because of my podcast or because of the podcast I listen to stories that I think are the most amazing. I'm one of the founders of International Podcast Day, and that's on September 30th. And we recently had the International Podcast Day Gratitude Award, which awarded the podcast whose audience expressed the most change or impact from that podcast. And the winner was the Katie Says podcast. And the comments and reviews from the audience were amazing that these people were saying, it truly changed my life. It's helped me get healthier. It has helped me to lose weight. It has helped me to live a happier life because I'm no longer depressed about this thing. That kind of stuff is amazing. And I think we'll continue to see that because podcasting, as opposed to traditional terrestrial or satellite radio, podcasting is much more authentic and much more personal. And because of that, I think the ability to impact for the good is much greater.
You mentioned your cornerstones. In terms of marketing for podcasters, what are some of the quick tips that you would give them?
Find your target audience and try to find ways that you can reach them. Engage first with a relationship. Don't go into groups or tweet people first saying, hey, listen to my podcast, check out my website, read my blog post. Engage with them first. Maybe it's you're searching Twitter for any time anyone tweets with certain keywords or hashtags or something like that. Talk to them first. Don't instantly come back saying, hey, listen to my podcast. Same thing in communities. Participate in communities. Engage in conversations so that when you do share something, people already trust you and have some respect for your providing value to the conversation. And equip your audience to share your content as well and to engage with you. I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm not getting any audience engagement. No one's emailing me any feedback or anything. And I ask them, well, do you ask your audience for feedback? Then they don't actually do it directly, or they're not giving their audience the inspiration to send feedback, like making a specific request of what kind of feedback. And they're often not even making it easy for their audience to send them the feedback. So you need to make it easy and equip your audience to engage with your content.
Love that. And one of the overarching themes that I'm hearing with you is it sounds like you're very good at listening. It sounds like you're good at social listening and then cueing in appropriate conversations with your community.
I think you have to be. You look at in-person networking, and it's much the same thing online. In person, you don't think very highly of that person who walks up to you and instantly starts promoting themselves or is that business card ninja who the first thing he does is gives you his business card. Those are the business cards I put in my back pocket and I don't pull out. But the people I appreciate much more are the ones who come up and listen and then they engage in the conversation. And if they're going to give me a business card, they give it later on, or I have to ask them for a business card. Those are the business cards I take and I write something on those business cards because I want to remember that person and the impression, the positive impression that they made on me. So look at your podcast networking, yeah, as in-person networking as well, and what looks like good manners versus what looks like self-promotional, bad behavior.
Love it. It's very helpful. So it's an honor to have you on the show. And I think this is a real opportunity both for my listeners to learn and as well as for me to learn. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think is one of the best questions that you get from podcasters?
The question I love to answer is, how do I improve my podcast? Not how do I grow my audience or how do I make more money from my podcast, but how do I improve? And that's why I created Podcaster Society is to help podcasters improve and go from average to amazing, as I say in the marketing for that.
And how do you answer that question? How to improve?
I look at where they are and what their actual goals are. Because we all have different goals for our podcasts, and your plan is how you're going to get to that goal. If you don't have a plan for your goal, or put a different way, goals without plans are merely dreams that will never be realized.
Beautiful.
You have to have some steps you're going to follow to reach that goal, or else you'll never reach it. So for each person, if they want to improve, I typically will ask a follow-up question. What are your goals? If they don't have goals, then I'd love to help them set some goals. Or if their goals are kind of vague, I might help them make them more specific and more measurable or actionable or more practical in some way. And then we can start talking about how do you actually improve? For example, someone who wants to make more money from their podcast might not need help in the monetization aspect. They might need more help in the promotion aspect because they need to get more people to their podcast, or they need to get better at promoting whatever it is that they're monetizing. Maybe if they're struggling with their presentation of the content, maybe it's not their presentation skills that are the problem, but maybe it's the content that they're sharing. It's content they're not passionate about, or they're not knowledgeable, or it just doesn't resonate with the audience they're trying to reach. So maybe the content is the problem, not their presentation skills. So I would recommend that we really look at where is it you want to be, and then how can we get there?
Right. Excellent. That reminds me of Alice in Wonderland quote. What she asked the Cheshire Cat, which way do I go? And he says, well, where do you want to go? Okay. So with your background and experience, all that you've seen in the podcasting industry over the last 7-8 years, where do you see the future going?
I see it becoming more and more portable. It's already very portable with mobile apps and such, but Android is really lacking. The main thing really that I see is think about podcasting as new media and everything else that we know in media as traditional media. Every time there's been a new media introduced, the internet, blogs, TV, radio, anything like that, it's always required a marriage between that new media and traditional media or the old media of that day. And I think we'll see that marriage between podcasting and traditional media. It's actually already happening now as more and more major media outlets are getting interested in podcasts and interested in the new ways that they can connect with their audience or ways of reaching a new audience through podcasting. I think with that marriage will come some things we may not like. Just like in a regular marriage, there are certain rules that start to emerge. Like for the guys, you can't wear that shirt anymore. The toilet paper has to go this way. You can't leave your dirty clothes there on the floor anymore. And things like that. And I know I'm being stereotypical, but certain standards and rules will emerge. Certain things like loudness or advertising standards. How do you measure your audience size for advertising rates and stuff like that? And that is all a sign of a maturing process. You look at a child when they're young, there aren't as many rules that they need to follow at every moment of the day. But at some point, then they start to take schooling and they have to follow a schedule there. At some point, they have a job, they have to follow that schedule. So we start to mature, and with that comes more structure, and that's okay. This marriage between new and traditional media will be a little bit uncomfortable at times, but ultimately it's for the better. And what I look forward to really is what is the birth that will come from this marriage between podcasting and traditional media? Because the marriage of traditional media and new media before has always birthed something new. You look at something like traditional media, radio, television, and new media, internet, or the internet and World Wide Web as it was new a couple decades ago.
Sure.
The birth from that was podcasting and online video like YouTube. So what happens now when traditional media marries this new media? I think it'll be something amazing. We might not have any idea what's coming. But what I'm excited about is to see the individual person having a global platform, no longer having to rely on radio stations or publishers and such, but that they can reach a global audience on their own and reach their own definition of success, whatever that may be.
Interesting and very well put. Before we wrap, is there anything else that you would like to add?
If you're thinking of getting into podcasting, I'm going to give you two tips. One, jump in. Don't worry about making it perfect. Don't worry about getting the perfect technology, the perfect microphone, anything like that. Get what works and get in and start doing it. Don't keep the world waiting on your message. Jump in. Second tip is jump in with a plan. Know where you want to go with your podcast. Maybe make a list of your next 25 episodes. It's okay if you don't follow that list, but that list could be 25 topics that you want to cover, or 25 guests you want to interview, or 25 movies or technologies or whatever it is that you want to review. But know where you want to go. And that can be as rough of a list as you want, but simply having that list can keep you going. Because on those days when you feel a little bit dry with your content, you can look back at your list and remember, oh yeah, I wanted to talk about this. And you can then address that. Or you can get inspired for other content to address from that list. So number one, don't try to get things perfect. Just jump in and start. Number two, jump in and start with a plan.
Excellent. That's very helpful. Thank you. Well, Daniel, what's the best place for folks to learn more and to reach you?
That would be theaudacitytopodcast.com. You can email me over there. You can call me. You can follow me on Twitter. You can connect with the different products and services that I make for podcasters and subscribe to my podcast about podcasting, read my blog posts, all of that. Everything is linked from that site, theaudacitytopodcast.com.
Excellent. Daniel J. Lewis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome, Carl. Thank you for the great opportunity.